of the necessity to flee did not diminish or decline, but grew in an intensity. The sound of something moving between the trees rang out across the emptiness, increasing in volume as it neared. Robert panicked, turned, and cycled as quickly as he could in the direction he had come. So eager was he to escape that narrow passage flanked on all sides by the impenetrable forest that he did not see a deep hole in the ground. The front wheel of his bike crashed into the depression, sending him flying over the handlebars, scraping along the ground. Dazed for a moment, the shambling sound of broken branches and displaced leaves, which was nearly upon him, brought his mind back into abrupt focus. Blood dripped from a wound in his leg, and his arm was badly bruised from the impact, but all he cared about was escaping from that suffocating pathway, away from whoever seemed to be moving in the woods. Robert's beloved paint job, including the letters ROB on the bike's frame, had been scratched slightly in the crash, but that did not concern him. Two spokes on the bike's front tire were broken, and that most certainly did. The last thing he needed was to be completely stranded there, so he would have to ride carefully and hope that the wheel would not buckle, lasting long enough to carry him home. Home. That was exactly where he intended to go, as quickly and directly as possible, as he was now facing in the direction he had been traveling for days. There was no time like the present. The moving sound in the trees continued, and as Robert carefully, yet at pace, negotiated the broken ground, he hoped above all else that his trusted mountain bike would get him out of there. Despite his obvious advantage of speed, the sound seemed to be only moments behind, and as he came closer to the end of the forest path and out into the open, he heard a noise which chilled him to his very core. From within the dark recess of trees spewed that same shrieking, tortured cry from the nights before, echoing out, piercing Robert's ears and scratching through his nerves. Was it that figure who had been wandering near his camp at night? Surely no human could make such a sound. Panicking, he increased his speed as the front tire of his bike wobbled and creaked under the pressure and strain. Finally, he was out of that narrow place, but he did not stop, cycling for hours without once looking back. Only when sure that his pursuer could not have followed did he stop to rest. Night was once again drawing in, and now every sound, every smell, every part of what had always made the countryside fascinatingly inviting to him took on a new, ominous, and menacing form. The remoteness, the solitude, to be left alone, far away from the buzzing lights of the city. He decided that tonight he would not set up camp. No fire, no tent. Robert was sure that the person following him had been able to do so because of the noise and light which he had made from night to night. It would not be pleasant. It would be cold, wet, and uncomfortable, but he wanted to make sure that he could not be tracked. There were various paths and dirt tracks in the area that he could have taken, but hopefully the man who was stalking him, for whatever reason he was doing so, would not be able to find him again. Robert knew, of course, that his tire tracks could easily betray his location if his pursuer was smart enough to follow them. The bike marks were obvious. For this reason, he backtracked for several minutes off the path in an attempt to confuse anyone following should the need arise. The worst thing he could do would be to sleep next to where his tracks ended. Finding a large bush with space underneath to sleep, he hid himself and his bike for the night, with one question on his mind. If this stalker was able to keep up with his progression each day, he must have been using a bike or vehicle of some description. But where were the tire tracks? Sleep did not come at all that night, but around 3 a.m. that wailing, inhuman noise did, moving around the area, searching. By now, Robert was beginning to suffer from lack of rest, but in spite of this, at the first sign of daylight, he quickly uncovered his bike from its hiding place and started on his way once again. Not one foul noise was heard that day, nor any evidence that his stalker was nearby, rationality began to overtake Robert's fear as night once again settled in. He had covered much ground throughout the day and had managed to take care as best he could of his bike's front wheel, which, bar the occasional creak or groan, was performing admirably. He concluded, after much soul-searching, that he had allowed himself to get carried away by the isolation of his surroundings and the admittedly unnerving person he had seen in the forest over the past few days. But surely it was preposterous to believe that he was really being followed. Perhaps the individual he had seen was not the same as the one he had encountered at that strange island of trees. It would make more sense that it was, in fact, just another camper. Maybe there were a few of them in the valley, and as for the unfamiliar animal screeching at night, it must just have been a species of bird in the area which he had never heard before. That night Robert would set a campfire. He would cook his food, eat well, and enjoy the solitary countryside as he had intended to for such a long time since planning his holiday. After locating a suitable spot in the forest, that was exactly what he did. He cooked on a roaring campfire and sat for hours gazing at the night sky through the branches of the trees above. There were no noises, no strange shrieks, no shambling footsteps in the darkness, nothing. Confident that his unwelcome traveling companion had been left far behind, he retired to his tent, exhausted, in much need of a well-earned rest. 2 paltry hours of sleep later, however, Robert woke to the sound of something stirring outside. He had left the campfire burning as he was uncomfortable in spending another night in darkness, and its flames seemed to dance, shifting and changing shape in the night air, casting shadows all around under the thin canvas of the tent like a naturally occurring cinema screen. But it cast one shadow in particular which dominated the others, that of someone sitting by the fire. Robert froze. His mouth went dry, and his breathing became shallow and anxious. He could not believe that he had been so stupid to persuade himself that no one was following him. In lighting another fire, he had led the stalker directly to where he slept, and now they had the upper hand. God only knew what they wanted. After a moment of utter terror, Robert realized he needed to defend himself. Sitting up slowly and pulling off his sleeping bag and out from under him as quietly as possible, he scanned the tent looking for something he could cannibalize as a weapon. But anything of any weight was in his backpack. A metallic torch, the wood he had taken days earlier, a glass bottle, etc. And he had stupidly left that outside of the tent. He cursed himself for being so reckless, and could scarcely believe that he had left his bag outside when he always kept it inside, away from rain and wild animals. Exhaustion was his only explanation, but that did not help his current circumstances at all. Then he remembered the old axe head, the black rock he had found at the stranger's camp. Indeed, if it was a hand axe as he suspected, he reckoned it could still deal a nasty, perhaps even fatal blow. Running his fingers along its once sharp ridges, Robert composed himself, never for a second taking his eyes off of the flickering shadow on the tent wall. The door to the tent was luckily unzipped, but the 2 flaps from the outer fly sheet were draped over the entrance, obscuring his view. With one eye, he peeked through the slit between the canvas slowly. There it was. Someone sitting at the campfire. By his build, Robert was certain it was a man. The backlight of the fire made it difficult to decipher any of his features, but the shoulders were broad, strong, and it was clear that this man had been in the wilderness for some time, as it appeared that he was wearing rags of cloth which hung loosely around him. His head was covered in long strands of black wet hair, which had clumped together in places, presumably because it had not been washed for some time. Staring at the rear of the man's head, Robert tried as best he could to subdue his fear. He thought that he could conceivably sneak up behind him and knock him out with a blow to the back of the head with the black stone, but that could be murder. And Robert did not even know if the man was violent. Perhaps he was a nomadic type, a gypsy, a traveler. Yes, maybe it was best to wait. Maybe he would just wander off into the woods, although that seemed unlikely. Just as Robert affirmed to himself that if the man made a move toward the tent, he would rush out into the open and fight him head on, he noticed something. Something was odd about the way the man was sitting. First of all, he was sitting still. So still that anyone would have been forgiven for mistaking him for a shadow. Not the slightest movement was made, nor was there any indication of life at all. No subtle shifting of weight, no rising and falling of breath, nothing. While the stillness was unnerving, it was Robert's second observation which bothered him the most. The man was sitting forward facing the fire, but the shape and position of his upper body and head was somehow off. They did not seem to quite add up. His frame seemed unnaturally positioned. A crackle from the fire, followed by a wavered flicker of light, revealed the truth. The flames lit up the area momentarily, the light bouncing from tree to tree, even onto Robert's tent, and reflecting back onto what surrounded it. Two pinpoints of light momentarily shone in the night through black clumps of matted hair. Yes, the man's legs were facing the fire, but his body and his head were horribly contorted, twisted into an inhuman posture. The man's legs were indeed facing the fire, but his head and body were facing Robert. This was no man at all. How long it had sat there staring at the tent, waiting, he did not know. But a creak of movement from its neck was enough to send Robert out of the tent into the woods, consumed by a terror so profound that it could be likened to madness. He did not know how long he had been running, nor if he had been screaming the entire time, but his feet were cut in several places, and the first ray of sunshine were peeking out through the still thick branches of the forest. In the distance, Robert could see the flames from his campfire still burning bright, and despite his terror at the knowledge of being stalked by someone entirely inhuman, he had to get his bike to stand any chance of escape. For a while he hid behind trees, under bushes, his nerves absolutely shattered, refusing to go near the fire. His preconceptions were broken, but Robert was a strong character, and after a time a modicum of composure returned to him. Step by cautious step, he neared his own camp. There was no sight of whatever had been sitting at that fire staring at him. By now, daylight illuminated the wider area, and after much self-bargaining, Robert decided to reclaim his belongings, grab his bike, and quickly continue as he could on his way out of the wilderness back to the city. Everything seemed to be accounted for, and even allowed himself a smirk at the thought that the creature, at least not being a thief. That sight soon vanished at the sight of the bike, however. Unharmed, yes, but strands of a black putrid liquid covered the seat and front wheel. This was not a time to be concerned with sludge on his means of escape. It was still working, and that was all that mattered. Had it been a week earlier, Robert would have been angry about the slightest scratch to his beloved mountain bike, but now he just cared about it getting him home, or at least back to Aberfoyle Village, to civilization. After clearing the liquid off and packing up his tent, Robert once more continued onward as fast as he could. He reckoned, with a hard push, that he could be out of that horrid place in a day and a half, as long as he took minimal rests and cycled for the duration of available light. The weather was not exactly ideal, but while rain occasionally came, it quickly disappeared, leaving long stretches of the journey clear from the wearing effects of the elements. As the day progressed, so did Robert's unease. He felt oppressed on all sides, as if he were running from something terrible, yet nearing an undefined danger. A horrible realization bubbled up from his unconscious. What if that thing followed him all the way home? As this thought swirled around in his mind, he passed over the crest of a hill and down again,